In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah, he's still on the throne, and he hears and answers prayer. Hallelujah, your problems are nothing to him. He can just take care of them. Jesus, take care of everything. Jesus, take care of everything. Jesus, take care of everything. Oh, that's a simple little prayer, but it's so powerful. Jesus, take care of everything. You are my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, take care of everything. I'm looking at John 20, verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, who is called Didymus, that means twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas was not with them on the day of the resurrection. He was not there. I had no idea where he was, but he missed Jesus coming in through the doors. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas is very straightforward. You said you've seen the Lord? Well, if that's real, I want to touch him. I want to put my hand in his side. I want to see if it's the Lord. Well, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Jesus came, even though the doors were locked. Why are the doors locked? They're afraid of the Jews. They're afraid that what happened to Jesus would happen to them. The doors were locked. And stood in the midst, Jesus stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put in your finger here and see my hands, and bring here your hand and put it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Well, you know what? When the Jehovah Witnesses come and they say Jesus isn't God, Thomas calls him my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. If Thomas touched the side of Jesus, he touched the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, the heart that is filled with love, the heart that is filled with devotion, the heart that loves you more than you could ever think or imagine. My Lord and my God. That's how he answered. And Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, Thomas, you have believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed." Well, you know what? I know of a little child just recently. She was singing hallelujah, glory to God. This child is 9 years old. And all of a sudden, she starts speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And she never had spoken in tongues before. And she was transported to heaven. And she saw Jesus. And this is what she said about Jesus. "He was filled with light, but it wasn't sunlight." It wasn't sunlight. It's a different kind of light. And she said, "You know, he showed me your mother and father and your grandfather in heaven." And she was able to tell about what she saw and how they looked. And you know, she said, "I'm going to have a ministry," Jesus said, "and we're going to call it the Ministry of Jesus First. The Ministry of Jesus First. And we're going to help people that are orphans, and we're going to help people that are sick, and we're going to help people that no one else wants to help." She saw Jesus. She saw Jesus. She saw Jesus. Oh, I tell you, she said, the trees there are so different. There are fruits that you can eat that you've never seen these fruits on the earth. This is a 9-year-old child. Speaking in tongues for 2 hours. Had a look at heaven. She's a normal child. She's a normal child. She came on Sunday with her father. But, you know, I've never seen Jesus, but I've seen some of the things he's done. I was with Jean yesterday, and at the graduation of Father Joseph and Father Joshi, Jean was there, and Jean came to me 6 years ago with 3 months to live. 3 months. The doctors said, you've got to make out your will. And you know what? She had a tumor the size of a baseball, and they radiated it, and it went away and came back with greater force. That's when she came to me. And I promised her one thing. I promised her that I could not heal her, but every time she came, I would pray, if only for a minute. And they came twice a week. Oh, I tell you, I might never have seen Jesus, but I have seen what he can do. I have seen what he can do. You know, this is Jesus, the Son of God and the Son of Mary. And then the scripture says, many other signs also did Jesus do in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. What is Jesus doing in your life? How is Jesus working in your life? There are many signs that he does. Many signs. Maybe you won't go to heaven and have a trip to heaven and come back to earth, but maybe Jesus has something for you that only he has for you if you have the faith for it. That little bit of faith, that mustard seed of faith. If you have that mustard seed of faith, then Jesus can work and he can show you the things he could show you. I remember my mother. My mother prayed for my brother. He had a lung disease, TB as a matter of fact. And she prayed and prayed and prayed that my brother would be healed. So when it came for my brother to go into the service, she knew he wasn't going to be accepted because there would be scar tissue on his lung. Guess what? She prayed so well that the Lord took the scar tissue and he had to go into the service. She wasn't happy about that. But you know what? Her prayer was answered. Her prayer was answered that my brother had TB and there was no scar tissue. But these things are written that you may believe, yes. That's why we ask people to read the Gospel of John. For these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. You may have eternal life. That believing in Jesus, you may have eternal life. Eternal life is this, to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We were at the graduation yesterday, and there were millions, not really, but hundreds and thousands of people. Hundreds and thousands of people going to different graduations at Boston College. And you know, as we drove by, my thought was, oh my God, I wonder how many of these people know Jesus. I wonder how many of the faculty know Jesus. I wonder how many people that were graduating know Jesus. You know, because ultimately it's between heaven and hell. And I said, I've got to keep on proclaiming because maybe one more person will hear, one more person will listen, one more person will come and give their life to Christ. Just this morning, there was a knock on the door, and this woman came with Carrie. Carrie brought her in and said she needs a prayer. And so we began to pray for her, Carrie and I. And she told me she had come before, and we had prayed for her, and she had felt the tremendous peace of the living God. And so we prayed for her, and we sent her off to a doctor so that she could get medicine, because that's what she really needed. But if she hadn't come, she wouldn't have gone to the doctor. She had an appointment with the doctor, but she wasn't going to go. So Carrie says, I'll drive you. But we prayed with her, and God came. Jesus came. I've never seen Jesus, but I tell you, when we pray, he comes. When we pray over people, he comes. Thomas's doubt was nothing as compared to the love that Jesus had for him. Thomas's doubt, I will not believe unless I put my hand in his side and my fingers in his nail marks. I will not believe. Thomas's doubt was nothing compared to the love that Jesus had for him. And Jesus showed him that it was truly the risen Lord. And he falls down and says, my Lord and my God. That's what it is. He's the Lord and he's God. God of the heavens and God of the earth. He is the Lord and he is God. Chapter 21. After this whole experience with Thomas, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is also the Sea of Galilee, and it was named after one of the rulers called King Tiberius. And Jesus showed himself after this manner. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas, who was called Didymus, twin, and Nathanael, who was of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. So let's see who was there. There was Thomas, who said, my Lord and my God. There was Nathanael, who sat under the fig tree, and Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree, and he says, you are the King of Israel. He was from Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, Jimmy and Johnny, you know, Jimmy and Johnny, who left their father to follow Jesus. And there were two others of his disciples. We do not know who they are. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. Simon Peter, where are you going to get the boat? You gave it all up to follow Jesus. Why are you going fishing? You gave it all up to follow Jesus. Why are you going fishing? Methinks Simon Peter would say, I've had enough of this mystical stuff. I need to do something I know how to do that doesn't take my mind. When's he coming back again? When's Jesus coming back? So he says, we're going fishing. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they all said to him, we also will come with you. And they went forth and entered into a boat, and that night they caught nothing. Oh, my Lord. I tell you, they were being disobedient because they had sold all their nets and their boats. I don't know where they got the new nets and the new boats, but I know this, they were being disobedient and they caught nothing. That's what happens when you're disobedient. You catch nothing. You catch nothing. God loves obedience. Obedere comes to be, means to listen to. God loves obedience. Let me continue. They caught nothing that night. But when morning came, Jesus stood on the shore. I want to tell you that Jesus is on your shore. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Mary, is on your shore. You only need to believe, and you only need to give him everything. Take care of everything, Jesus. Take care of everything, Jesus. Oh, he was on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, children, have you caught any fish? Oh, he knew they had caught nothing. He had made sure of that. They were being disobedient. They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. That's the wrong side that you cast the net on. And you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. Obedience catches fish. Obedience gets parking places. Obedience meets people that you can talk to about Jesus. Obedience is so necessary. So necessary, being obedient to Christ, being obedient to Jesus, being obedient to the church. Obedience. I find it hard sometimes to be obedient. God only knows how disobedient I am sometimes, but God loves me, and I do want to become obedient. Cast your net to the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. And the disciple therefore whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord!" Simon Peter, when he had heard this, put on his coat about him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were only 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. So they caught more fish than they could count, but they did count them. There were 153. 153. People have been asking, what does that mean, 153? I have absolutely no idea what 153 means, other than that's what they caught, 153. But the other disciple came in the ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it was only 200 cubits, dragging in the net with fish. As soon as they came to the land, what happens now? They saw hot coals lying, and the fish was on the hot coals and bread. Where did Jesus get this fish and bread? He's cooking breakfast for them. Jesus said to them, "Bring here of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. I tell you, we need to throw out the net and catch people. We need to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to witness to Jesus. We need to throw out our nets for a catch, not for fish, but for people. You see, Carrie today brought somebody in who was desperate. She had enough care in her heart to help a friend. And you know what? She has her own problems. But she had enough care to bring that woman to be prayed with. And don't you think I didn't say to Carrie, you lay your hands on her head because you were the one that had enough love to bring her here. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. I tell you, this Jesus is wonderful. And I tell you, we need to throw out our nets for a catch of people. People don't know Christ. Again, I saw all these beautiful kids with graduation garments on, and I'm thinking, oh, how many of them know Jesus? How many of them love Jesus? I have no idea. There was no answer. So I started to pray. You're the only one can touch them, Jesus. You're the only one that can change them. Oh God, all the degrees in the world are beautiful, but they are not worth knowing Jesus. Jesus is greater, but he will use those degrees. You see, that's what Jesus does. He uses what we have. He uses what we have. I would never be on radio today if I was not ordained a priest. I know that. I know that. I know that because I am a priest of the Archdiocese of Boston, people listen to me. They listen to me. If I were a lay person, some people would listen to me, but the Catholics don't listen to lay people for the most part. They want to hear a priest. But I know that that gift was given not for me, the gift of the priesthood, but for people. For people, that people would come to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That everything that we have, we want to use for the love of Jesus. We want to lower our nets. We want to set out for a catch so that people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Every degree that people receive is wonderful, but we want to use the degrees to bring people to Jesus and Jesus to people. That's what we want to do because, you see, people with great intellect would not want to listen to me. You know, they're so bright, you know, and I'm so simple. They need someone who's bright, very bright, and speaks their language, that loves Jesus and brings them to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm not saying that's always true, but I'm saying, you know, people who have degrees, they need people that are very intellectually astute. You know, just because they need that. Many of them. I know some of you are disagreeing with me, but that's okay. You can disagree with me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm telling you something that I think anyway. Jesus said to them, "Come and dine." And none of them who were at meat did ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. He had a resurrected body. They knew it was the Lord. They knew it was the Lord. When therefore they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" What he said was, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with the love that you'd give your life to me?" And what did Simon say? "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, but I love you as a friend," he said to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs," the little ones. And he said to him again, "Simon, son of Jonah, son of John, do you love me in such a way that you would give your life for me?" And Simon said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you as a friend." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." You see, this is very interesting. The Greek word for love to give your life for is agape. And Jesus is saying, "Do you agape me that you'd even give your life for me?" He says, "No, I love you as a friend." Philo, like Philadelphia. I love you as a friend. Now the third time Jesus asked Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me as a friend?" Jesus steps down to Peter. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." So there is a responsibility for loving Jesus. What is the responsibility? Feeding the lambs, feeding the sheep, bringing people to Christ, and bringing Christ to people. There is a responsibility to loving Jesus. You can't stay in a closet and say, "I'm a closet Christian." I met a lady yesterday that came up to me and said, "You know what?" It was 2 days ago. "You know what? Your aunt led me to God and to the church," my aunt Alder. "I led my aunt Alder to the Lord. And now I meet someone that says, it was your aunt that led me to Jesus and to the church. I had not been going to church. Your aunt," she had a telephone ministry with people. I said, "Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful that my aunt did that. But you know what? If I didn't lead my aunt to the Lord, you know, she wouldn't have gone to the prayer meeting that they had. That prayer meeting brought forth so much fruit. And it still goes on every Friday evening. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord." He said the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me as a friend?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me as a friend?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus knew that Peter denied him three times. I don't know him, never saw him, never was with him. We have a threefold denial and a threefold acknowledgement of love. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Jesus did it three times. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you did gird yourself and you walked where you would. But when you shall grow old, you shall stretch forth your hands and another shall gird you and lead you where you do not want to go. And this he said, signifying by the death that he would glorify God. And when he had said this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." And we'll stop right there. Follow me. Don't worry about other people. Your job is to follow Jesus. Follow me. Follow me. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Without your donations, I cannot continue to preach the gospel in Boston and throughout the country. In Boston, WROL and WEZE nearly cost me $100,000. Almost $100,000. So I need to hear from people. Please write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And if you need your roof fixed, I was giving the wrong number, 617-846-0076. 617-846-0076. One more time, 617-846-0076. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus Christ. Take care of everything. We love you, Lord Jesus Christ. Take care of everything. We love you, Lord Jesus Christ. Take care of everything. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.